Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Rachel Bade. It's Thursday, April 4th, and it appears we're headed for another historic mutiny of a speaker. More in a second on questions of whether Mike Johnson's days holding the gavel are numbered. But first, it's been 3 days now since Speaker Johnson took to Fox News to outline a House GOP proposal to fortify Ukraine. Yet, there's one particular group that we haven't heard much from in terms of a reaction, and that is the folks at the White House. Joining me now to discuss why is my colleague, Jen Habercorn. Good morning, Jen.
Hi, Rachel. Good to talk to you with you.
So, Jen, they can't be happy that the House isn't taking up the Senate-passed Ukraine bill, but they haven't said much. Why is that?
Well, you know, their public line is the Senate bill or bust. I mean, they feel like any change at this point is obviously going to be a significant delay. But behind the scenes, there is an acknowledgement that is extremely unlikely that the Senate bill is actually going to pass the House. Of course, that's still going to be what they root for. But at this point, the conversations have turned more to how can we get Ukraine funded? You know, what does Johnson need for him to bring it to the floor? And what needs to happen for the bill to actually pass the House?
So then it sounds like there's this realization that they're going to have to give him cover in some way. And how do they do that? Is it by not sort of slamming these proposals he's put out there or actually signaling that they're open to them behind the scenes?
Well, you know, after Johnson did that interview on Sunday that you mentioned, where he talked about a couple things that he wants to see in this bill, I was pretty surprised that we didn't see pushback from the White House. You know, if the White House wanted to make clear that they opposed those things, it would have been, you know, very loud and clear. Of course, we did hear them say, you know, the Senate bill is what needs to get done, but we didn't see them really attacking those ideas. We didn't see them going after Johnson. You know, in prior recesses, there's been more personal back and forth between the Speaker's office and the White House. We haven't seen that in these last 2 weeks while Congress has been out of session. And I think those are all, you know, pieces of the recipe that need to come together for some kind of Ukraine aid to pass the House.
Yeah, you and I have both covered the Hill for a long time. And we know that if people aren't leaking, there's actually, or publicly posturing against each other, there's actually probably progress going on. So there's not much of a relationship between President Joe Biden and Speaker Johnson. So who've been the main sort of points of contact between these offices?
So the main points of contact from the White House have been Steve Ricchetti, a longtime Biden advisor and his, you know, guru of Capitol Hill, and Chwanza Goff, who's the director of the Office of Legislative Affairs. They've been the point people with Johnson's office. You know, in fact, one of our colleagues at Politico saw them going into Johnson's office right before the spring recess. So they've been keeping open lines of communication. But to your broader point, there isn't a relationship. So, I mean, the Biden administration's strategy on legislation in this Congress has always been kind of hands off because they have to be. You know, they have to give both the House and the Senate room to navigate, and they have kind of viewed the president's bully pulpit is not something that they want to use very frequently. But that strategy is a little more complicated by the fact that there isn't a relationship with Johnson. So they've had to very quickly make up for that.
Yeah, and those two people you mentioned, Ricchetti obviously has this sort of reputation as being more moderate, the more moderate sort of voice in the White House. And then Chwanza has a really good reputation on the Hill, even with Republicans from her years up there working for Hoyer, I believe, for a long time. Do we know privately what the White House thinks of these ideas? I mean, clearly they're not slamming them, but the big three that Johnson outlined on Sunday were turning aid into loans, which we've written about in Playbook a number of times and noticed that while Democrats don't love the idea, they're not saying no explicitly. But then two other things, the idea of using frozen Russian assets to help Ukraine, and then lifting a Biden administration ban on some liquefied natural gas exports, which obviously was a priority for the Biden administration because they just wrote this new rule a few weeks ago. Do we know which ones might be red lines, if they have any?
Well, the White House press secretary publicly came out against lifting the moratorium on Wednesday. And so that seems somewhat unlikely to end up in here. But you're right. I mean, Democrats on the Hill have suggested that the loan idea isn't a deal breaker. I mean, that gets logistically complicated. There's some Democrats who oppose that idea because they don't want to set a precedent of particularly military aid becoming loans, that it could kind of bog down a country like Ukraine as they're trying to rebuild, to have all this debt that, you know, everyone knows is not going to have to be repaid, but would be burdensome on a you know, struggling economy. And then as far as the seizing the Russian assets, you know, that one is a little interesting because rhetorically, that sounds, you know, really wonderful. There are House and Senate bills on this. The White House does support one of the policies in the Senate, but doesn't want it attached to this bill to the point that we were talking about earlier, that any changes would just slow down the legislative process of getting this bill passed. So seizing the Russian assets, you know, if I had to kind of rank these, seems like one that could end up in a final package.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, then the aid, then the moratorium on liquefied natural gas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, they won't, it seems at this point, they want this Ukraine aid to pass more than anything, and they may not have a choice in terms of trying to keep that Senate bill. It sounds like they're going to have to change it. And the sooner they realize that, the better in terms of getting Ukraine moving. Jen, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Rachel. Good to talk with you.
Speaking of Mike Johnson, a little more on his precarious situation. Yesterday, CNN's Manu Raju caught up with Marjorie Taylor Greene on Johnson's proposal to turn Ukraine aid into this loan. Marjorie Taylor Greene's reaction, she called it a, quote, heaping, steaming pile of bullshit. As if that wasn't bad enough, Greene also reiterated that allowing Ukraine to pass with Democratic support under suspension of the rules, which, by the way, is Johnson's current plan, that would trigger her to force a vote to oust Johnson. She rejected suggestions that vacating Johnson would empower Democrats. She even called the speaker Mitch McConnell's twin or worse. Then, to make matters even worse for Johnson, she went on none other than Tucker Carlson's show and began to say things like, this isn't a Republican speaker we have right now, this is a Democrat speaker. Needless to say, it does appear we are headed this month for another historic speakership mutiny. Johnson has signaled to his defense hawks that he's hoping to actually pass something bipartisan on Ukraine, and that means it's really only a matter of time before Marjorie Taylor Greene makes her move. Now, just a few bits of reporting this morning. The speaker, I'm told, is well aware of the threat hanging over his head. His allies, however, are still hoping that Marjorie Taylor Greene's push to sort of throw the House into chaos will prove to be too toxic even for other Johnson critics to join her. And to be fair, we should mention that right now she is the only person who is out there calling for his removal. I do want to say one more thing this morning, and that is that even though a small group of Democrats could actually save Johnson's gavel, that's only going to be a temporary fix. That would be an unprecedented move that would infuriate the GOP base. Republicans who don't like Johnson are going to start calling him the Democrats' speaker. And that in turn is going to put pressure on some Republican members who might not otherwise be inclined to support his removal to eventually endorse it. And even if Johnson manages to hold on somehow, and again, this is a big if, I'm already hearing whispers amongst a lot of House Republicans that he is not long for this role as the top Republican in the House. There are Republicans who concede that they're probably going to lose the chamber and that if they don't keep it, he's going to be pressured to step aside. In other words, enjoy the fact that your schedule today is pretty light. The House and Senate are out until next week. I'm Rachel Bade. Thanks for listening.